lots of downtimes. Lots of times things don't work. We choose books that, you know, that don't resonate. And Jan Bolter, who's my co-host, who's here, who's fabulous, of course. And the men really, really love her. I mean, love her in the right sense, of course. And, you know, but she's just fantastic, Jan is. And she and I work together. And I don't know, it's just one of the best things I've ever done.
You've grown to really care about those men, haven't you?
Well, you do. You know, you can't do this without becoming radicalized, because you realize they're just human beings, like us. And there, but for the grace of God, could we, because we could have done things or had a terrible childhood, which, you know, could have done that. And so you really do get to, and they become friends. They become, you know, human beings that you can engage with, because some of them are very bright and very talented, probably talented in the wrong way sometimes, but, you know, but here's the most important question. The most important question of any question in the prison system is this, because 95% of them will get out. What do we want them to be like when they get out? That's what everything in the prison system should be here for, and it isn't, sadly. There are lots of great people in the prison. We work with the education wing, Collins Bay. I'm Collins Bay Max. My guys are all lifers. Our guys are all lifers. But it's a dispiriting place. So we bring maybe Jan and I and Max, where these guys come off the ranges. Many of them don't see each other a lot. They come once a month, and maybe we give them just a little sense of what it is to be a human being, you know? What was your experience like?
That's just so lovely and so moving, Eric. Thank you. I went in with David Robertson, who has been working very hard at this festival. He's a Cree writer who lives in Winnipeg. His roots are in Norway House, Manitoba, the northern tip of Lake Winnipeg. And the books we were talking about were a memoir about his father called Blackwater, and then he called it autofiction, so drawn heavily from his own life, a novel called Theory of Crows. But they're both about fathers who kind of mess up at some point in their lives. And this was when he started talking about his own experience of being an absent father and not being there for his kids, and the doors opened. Dave gave a lot, and all of a sudden, stories started to come back. Really good questions. I was so amazed. Back to Richard, I got a lot of questions about Richard because there seemed to be a bit of knowledge that we were very close. But I was also there to talk about mental health and to interview Dave if need be. But honestly, the questions were so good and so well thought out, except for this one guy. And this is kind of sweet. He thought the visiting author was going to be Ray Bradbury. And he read the Martian Chronicles. And the guys just let him, they didn't let him off. They said, okay, yeah, you know, prepare your questions for Ray. And he gave me all these questions for Ray Bradbury about science fiction and how you create worlds. But in fact, the questions were so good that Dave could talk about how he created his own fictional worlds. But it was really amazing. And also, the coffee was really good. That's what I said. But coffee and cookies that I gather were made by the inmates. It was 2 hours that flew, 2 hours that felt very real. There was a lot of laughter. There was tears. There were tears. I found it absolutely transformative. And I, as you say, Eric, I think we're one bad decision away. One bad choice of me, you know. And in my own family, I have people who have dealt with addictions and have committed crimes as a result. And I was happy to be there in whatever way I could be, but I felt I was a different person when I left.
You're going to go back?
I would love to go back,
Good. Author visits are very important. This is something that Book Clubs for Red Maine supports, and it's expensive because they have to bring a writer. Although in one case, we had a local writer, the late Steve Hyden. And Stephen Hyden, of course, was just... And I have to speak about because the best writers for us to go in with my guys, our guys, is somebody who understands men. And Steve Hyden was great. He was just wonderful. We were talking about his novel, Nightingale Sings, whatever it is. Come on. Jan. Okay, it's something about when the Nightingale Sings. It's,
Nightingale won't let you sleep.
Yes.
The Nightingale won't let you sleep. Thank you. I should know this, but aging brain, too full. Anyway, Steve came, and we talked about the book, but then the guys wanted to talk hockey, and he could talk hockey, right? And then they wanted to talk, somehow one of them had read Hemingway, so we could talk about Hemingway, you know? And this just, and it was the same when Jen and I had John Valiant come to talk about his book, Firewood. And it's such, the men are so moved that a guy, and John Valiant had just won this incredible nonfiction prize, and yet he comes into, he was here for Writers Fest last year, but he comes into this room and he treats them like equals. He goes toe to toe. We had one or two climate deniers, but you know, that's okay. And he was just terrific with these guys, and it means so much. And then they, you know, they get an autographed book out of it, and they still talk about it. They still, and that's one thing that Book Clubs for Inmates does, in addition to providing the books and giving us guidance on what to do. So it's a really, really fabulous program, and it's worthy of your support. Let's just say, worthy of your support.
You keep mentioning guy writers. And of course, my head goes right to Guy Vandereyeg. I love Guy Vandereyeg too. And I will tell you an embarrassing story.
Okay.
I had written a collection of short stories called Homesickness. And I think not too long into the interview, Guy realized that I hadn't read all the stories. So
always a mistake.
He started making up a few stories. So he was very, very kind. I mean, it was funny. It was a lot of fun. But he told me afterwards, you know, you can just say that you didn't have time. I was on a daily program. It was even worse than when I had to interview Vikram Seth about A Suitable Boy, which is 1,400 pages.
I know, the longest book in the English language.
Is it?
It is.
I'm not surprised, yeah. So I read every 10th page, which really didn't work out either.
He's a sweetheart.
He was lovely. He did tell me on the air, he hoped that the next time we met, I would have read the whole book. And I did. I took the train across Canada to get to the Victoria Commonwealth Games Literary Festival. And I was so proud of myself. I read every page. And I wrote a little poem that said, I needed to go to bed, but took a suitable boy to bed instead.
Very good.
Yeah, well, thank you. But it was, I got caught a couple of times. Yeah. But Guy, what a guy. I mean, what a writer.
Yeah.
August Into Winter, took him a long time to write that book, 10 years. And there's now just a brand new collection of nonfiction that he's written called Because Somebody Asked Me To, which is just a great title. It's so good. It's just riveting, really riveting.
Have you interviewed Margaret Atwood?
Oh no, there's an embarrassment. Is this a setup?
I'm making a mistake of asking a question I don't know the answer to.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I have often, and I respect her deeply. But the story of the Robber Bride had just come out, and my producer had said, it's just a pot boiler. And so I said to Margaret, what made you want to write a pot boiler? Not knowing what a pot boiler was. So she said, Sheila, do you know what a pot boiler is? It's something that you put on the back, you put a pot on the back of your stove and you just throw everything into it to keep the wolf away from the door. She said, now, do you think I wrote a pot boiler? No, not at all. But that was a case of, okay, just pretending to know or thinking I knew what I knew, but I didn't.
I had not interviewed her until this last summer at Angela Hewitt's festival in Italy. She came because she had written a series of poems that were set to music called Songs for Murdered Sisters, and that's why she was there. But we did a public interview, and I had met her, never interviewed her. But I did signal to her that I'd done my homework. You know, it's kind of important to do that. So she knew that I had read and so on and so forth. And it turned out to be a really good interview. I mean, she had fun with me, but she wasn't, you know, she wasn't nasty or anything. And at the very end, after we walked out, I said to her, kind of a flippant moment, I said, you know, you were a really fun interview. And she looked at me with her steely eyes and she said, sometimes. Sometimes. And she gave me a wink. So I figured I don't know, but I was terrified. I mean, I can't tell you how much I read and boned up on for that interview. Wow.
Of course.
Just, you know,
no, you've got to. Yeah. You've got to go the distance.
Yeah,
you're sure. I was surprised. I had an on-stage interview with her about Testament. That one got me right in the back of my ears, I think. But, her husband Graham had just died a couple of days before, and I thought, well, she's probably going to cancel it. But she thought, no, you know, I'm going to keep going. And Graham's death wasn't a surprise, as tragic and sad as it was. But midway through the interview, she grabbed my left hand and started doing a palm reading session. And she's very good. I'll just warn you, if it ever happens, that I actually had to pull my palm, my hand away from her because she was getting too close to a couple of things. She is the oracle.
She is the oracle. Can you give us an example of what she found out about you reading her palm?
I can give you, this is a very light example, I guess you could say. She discovered I was left-handed, and I was as a kid, but it was at a time when left-handedness was whacked out of you.
Yes.
In school, you know, obviously, you know, my mom, she wouldn't have done that, but I have great strength in my left hand. For a while, I played the violin, and now spare the world by not playing it, but that's the hand that's got to be really strong, you know? And she could tell. But I think she got very close to looking into my palm, and...
Oh, my God.
Is that a ghost apartment?
Yes.
Be careful, Sheila.
It absolutely is. And she got into looking at relationships. And she said, there is a relationship that you have never resolved, and she was right. It was with a former colleague, but it is something I have not resolved. And when I became a witness for the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I wanted to reconcile with people that I hurt, and I've not yet been able to do that. So I just thought, I really don't want to go there, so I pulled my hand away and said, everybody, Margaret Atwood! She is amazing.
Yeah, she really is. Where shall we go next?
Probably to Tom.
Is he starting to
yawn? Yeah.
I'm not yawning.
I'm just scared. Do you want a microphone, Tom? Yeah.
This might be an appropriate time for giving these guys a bit of a break. We paid a fortune for these people behind the wall here to test these two interviewers, and they've done an amazing job, but they've also done an amazing job. People like to line up and ask some questions, I think that microphone is on. We would welcome them.
Hi. I was just wondering, for Book Club for Inmates, is there a place where you could donate books?
You know the answer to this, Tom.
The federal government does have on their website, you can donate books to them.
I've got another
I think they go to Ottawa, it's an archaic and terrible system. At the moment, we are having books donated from publishers, brand new books, relevant books. And it's not that you don't have some great books, but we just don't have the manpower to go through them all before sending them off to prisons. And we also are directing appropriate books to each of the individual prisons. So at this point, we're not interested in it, but if you want to donate, the federal government does have a site that you can send some.
Thank you.
That's a great question. And Tom, I'm glad you mentioned that they're brand new books because they're treasure.
They are.
They are. Cast-offs or secondhand, they're treasure, and they keep them, and if it's an author interview, the author signs them. It's very special.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, I have another question about book clubs for inmates. You talked exclusively about guys. Are women inmates involved in that program?
Yes, they are. The prisons that I've been involved in are all prisoners, they're all male prisons. There's a very large prison in Kitchener-Waterloo for women, and I know a little bit about them. There's a very good book club there. My late cousin, Margaret, was involved in that, as are a number of others, and so I know that that is very well serviced also. Tom, are there other women prisons?
Yes.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, just so everybody knows, every one of the federal prisons, there are only four of them across the country. Each of them have their own book clubs and are very successful in that. I just as a quick aside, I was just down in Grand Valley last week, and we have that children's program I was telling you about, and we had a person from Japan come over who'd started a similar program there, and we demonstrated for her what this was all about. And her first question to us, this is just interesting in terms of the cultural differences, she said, "Is it okay if I look the inmates in the eye?" And I said, "Yes." She was standing right beside an inmate and didn't even realize it. And so it just gives you some idea of the perspectives. But yes, all of the women's institutions across the country are unfortunately a terrible disproportion of indigenous women are incarcerated in this country.
Okay, do we have any other questions? People come up to the microphone. Don't all come at once.
Good afternoon. It's been wonderful hearing you share your stories, some personal ones, and also examine looking at books in different spaces. Prisons. Most of us don't go into prisons or visit prisons, and hearing about book clubs. So I'm just wondering if you were being approached to talk about books in a different space, and perhaps it was titled Two E-Bookish Broadcasters Click Into a Chat Room. How would you approach that?
Wow. I've never been asked that before. Have you, Sheila?
No, and...
How would we deal? So, do you understand the question? How would we...
How do two people...
Click into a chat room.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I'm surprised. I'm stumped.
One of the great things about radio is you never saw the audience, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's you imagine when you met them on many occasions, but I can't answer that.
Yeah, I wish I could.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be thinking about it at 2 a.m.
Yeah. So, any other questions? Go ahead.
Ready? You can line up if you'd like to.
We used to have a sort of van, going around with the microphone. But
Sheila, I was delighted to
to hear that you were going to be the next Chancellor of Queens. And I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what kind of influence can a Chancellor have on an institution like Queens? I heard a story about your work at your previous role as Emeritus Chancellor, and then you had quite a significant influence on a particular ceremony and changing the ceremony to accommodate the wishes of some people. And maybe you could talk a bit about that as well.
Thank you. That's a wonderful question, and it's funny. This week, people have said to me, "What does a chancellor do?" And even after 7 years of being a chancellor at the university, I still don't have a quick answer. But at UVic, the very first meeting I went to was the convocation committee, and I wasn't in the room. I was calling from Gabriola Island into the UVic boardroom. And the chair asked me, was there anything I might want to change about the UVic convocation ceremony? And I said right away, I said, well, I'd get rid of the organ, that's for sure. And this didn't go over well, because it's, you know, it's tradition. However, it's not that I don't like the organ, I love organ music, but I felt the sort of 20 minutes before students actually started coming into the hall, and as they came into the hall, it felt funereal to me. And it just, that this is an occasion of great joy and optimism. And then I thought, well, and the committee chair said, well, if you don't want the organ, which by the way, they just had refurbished, what would you want? And I said, well, I think it would be wonderful if there was some acknowledgement of the three First Nations whose land the University of Victoria stands on. So I went to an elder and asked if this might be something that we could do, offering gifts following West Coast Coast Salish protocol. And then the elder had relatives who were drummers and singers, and they did it once, and it electrified Farquhar Hall, where the ceremonies took place. And it felt good. Indigenization, truth, and reconciliation was one of the pillars of the UVic strategic plan. And the woman who was head of ceremonies said, oh, we'll just try it one or two times and see. But it just kind of took off, and it wasn't just me who got that ball rolling, but maybe I got to start pushing it down the hill. But the influence at Queen's, something I'm very interested in, is student mental health. I suffered quite a bit when I was at Queen's from depression, but I didn't know that's what I had. In fact, it was diagnosed as something hormonal. I just thought I had really wild and raging and very sad hormones. But that concerns me. And same with mental health for everyone at the university community. It's a hard time for universities right now. Even Queen's, which seems like a very rich university, but there are all kinds of checks and balances about what money you're allowed to spend and where it's going to go. And tuition is frozen. There's a cap on international student enrollment. It's a tricky time. So mental health is a real issue, I think, for everybody. That's something. And also, I'm still very interested in truth, healing, and reconciliation, and how the university can move that forward. So, thanks for the question.
We have another question there. Oh, we're getting Tom.
Thank you both. This has been just a wonderful afternoon conversation, despite the drilling. Sheila, I'm sorry to hear about your depression when you were a student at Queen's, but can you talk a little about your experience as a radio host at CFRC? I didn't go to Queen's at the time, and many people here will remember it, and some don't, so enlighten us, please.
Well, CFRC wasn't a part of my depression. That was part of my great joy at Queen's. And I started there because I heard somebody reading record notes, and I had the same record. And Eric, I bet you had this album too. It was Glenn Gould with Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic, and he was doing Bach D minor concerto. And the announcer was just reading it verbatim, and I actually pulled it out from my little collection and started reading along with her. I thought, oh, this is easy. and I thought, well, I guess, you know, maybe I could try. And so I knocked at the door, and they were looking for somebody who would host classical music programs. And at the time, I'd studied violin, and I really loved classical music. The National Arts Center Orchestra that Eric was so connected with and hosted so many concerts for had started when I was in grade 9, and I went to many of the concerts. Queens, I felt like I met my people there. They were all pretty nerdy, and I found my folks, I guess, and it stood me in good stead. One Sunday morning, though, I got a call from CKWS, from the program director, offering me a job, and I just hung up on this joker. And then he called back and said, we'd like you to be a country and western host. And that was a learning curve for sure, but it was 1976, and country, I loved the music from that time. Dolly Parton was Here You Come Again, and take this dog job and shove it, do, 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 yeah. I ain't working here no more. Okay. I won't go on, but it led me to a career I never thought I was going to have. Unlike Eric, I hadn't thought of radio as a possibility, but I was very lucky. Thank you very much for asking about CFRC.
There's a hand up there.
Thank you very much. I just have a question, particularly for Eric, because you've got more experience. It would really be helpful to me to hear you describe some personal anecdotes, things that you've seen, and to give them, to flesh them in a more individual way inside the prison when you do the work. And that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Anecdotes inside the prison.
Well, Eric, how do you prepare to go in, and how do you enter in and get a discussion going?
Well, what we do is we thanks for rescuing me there.
Is that okay? Is that okay?
Yeah. So what we do is we, Jen and I go in with Jamie Gray, who teaches in the program at Collins Bay, and we set up. Chairs around the circle, and then gradually the men filter in. Each one of them has to be accompanied by a guard, because it's MACS, and because those are the rules. And so it's all very social for a little bit, and then we sit down, and Jen and I take turns of presenting the book, and we'll talk a little bit about the book, and then we start going around and just getting a conversation going. And it's not a problem to get a conversation going, let me tell you. These guys really want to talk. And particularly when they don't like the book, you know, which happens quite a bit. They're a tough crowd, at least our current group is. But that's fine, and you just roll with it. And, you know, as you know, being in a book club, sometimes when a book isn't well-loved, you have the most interesting conversation. And it always leads to something else, you know, we pick it up. So, just try. I'll give you an example. This is just a little anecdote from not so long ago. We get Starbucks to donate coffee for our visit once a month, very generously. The one one across from Farm Building, Futures Gate. That's the place here in Kingston. And sometimes there's a fellow named Christopher there who throws in some goodies. Jen always brings these wonderful cookies from Farm Boy, she does. But sometimes they throw. So this time, Christopher threw in 15 packages, because we're 15 people, 15 packages of their coffee cake. Right. And so guys like that, and they sometimes they didn't take them back with them. And this one fellow came up to me and he said, I haven't had coffee cake in 7 years. You know? And that reminds you of how deprived these guys are. You know, these men, they are deprived. And it's not club fed, let me tell you. I mean, not only is their freedom taken away, but and, I mean, they've done terrible things, and so they need to pay the price, but you can still treat them like human beings. And that so often doesn't happen in my experience. So these are the little things that just lighten up their lives, you know. So, you know, if we don't have another question, I'm gonna ask you one question and then we can wrap up. What are you reading now?
Well, I'm reading Murray Sinclair's Who We Are. And I've read it already, but this is my second read through. Murray, this isn't a secret. He's in hospital right now, and he's doing well. But I guess there are people who are being called upon to kind of help represent the book as it goes out into the world. And I think this book is, I can hardly speak about it, it's stunningly beautiful. The first half is first-person singular memoir, and you hear his voice, you really hear his voice through the writing. And the second half is almost like a distillation of the summary report of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. But Murray's stories, Murray as an individual whose mother died when he was very young, who is an incredible human. There's a story very early on about someone who attempts to rob him in a parking lot. And Murray, as a judge, a former judge, recognizes this guy, and he stops him and says, you know, I think I know you. And what Murray does is gives him $40. And, you know, it's just, here, take this, you know, and go and do something good with it. Remember, this moment happened. And, you know, it kind of let you off the hook. And I've seen him do that. I've seen him help people get out of his car and help people across the street who are stumbling for one reason or another. His great humanity comes through. His humor comes through. And I can tell you a little story about Murray, if that's okay. Well, we were having a fireside chat, and one of his great stories is the Ugly Duckling, because he felt for years and years, as he was a kid, he was an ugly duckling. And then he realized, in fact, he was a swan. He was, and he became a proud indigenous man. So I'm getting ready to set him up for this story. Dribble, dribble, lay out. All he has to do is put the ball in the basket. And I said, you know, I know there's a story that's very important to you. And he said, yes, Sheila, have I ever told you why dogs like to sniff each other's butts? That, too, is the great Murray Sinclair. That's what makes him great. And in all of the national events for the TRC, there was laughter, and a lot of it came. A lot of it was sponsored by Murray Sinclair. But it's a beautiful, really touching book that I believe explains a lot about how Canada is the way it is right now and how we can be a better country.
Thank you.
What are you reading?
Well, this gives me a chance to say I had just finished reading a book that I was going to interview a writer, Lisa Moore, a Newfoundland writer, on Saturday, who has just written this fabulous book called Invisible Prisons. It's her first nonfiction book, and I'm going to make a pitch for it now because she can't be here. Her mother just passed away, and so she has to be in Newfoundland with her mom. But so we won't be able to talk to her on Saturday afternoon. But it's an extraordinary book that she wrote with a fellow named Jack Whalen, who was incarcerated early on in an institutional home for boys in Newfoundland and very badly abused. He was put in, seriously, as a 13-year-old, he was in segregation, very, very tough segregation for 4 months, and many other times as well. And it's a very tough story, and yet at the same time, it's a redemptive story, because it describes how he found love in his wife, and despite the fact that he still deals with tremendous problems related to the abuse he received as a young boy in Newfoundland, he has survived, and he's tenacious. It's a terrific story, and I'm sorry you won't get a chance to meet her, but another time, Tom will definitely get her. It's a book we have to read in the prisons, for sure. Invisible Prisons, Lisa Moore with Jack Whelan. Read it. It's a fabulous, fabulous book. Thank you, Chancellor Rogers.
Thank you, Eric Friesen.
Thank you so much to both of you for just a wonderful conversation. And if you do have an opportunity to make a donation to us, we would be thrilled. I just want to apologize to the gentleman who talked about donating books. You can donate money to us, which would really help when it comes to getting those books out into those prisons. So thank you very much, and thanks for coming today.
Just heard, I should probably do this first. It is almost exactly 37 minutes after 5 o'clock, and you just heard again from September 26, 2024, Kingston Writers Fest event called Two Bookish Broadcasters Walk Into a Bookstore, an afternoon with Eric Friesen and Sheila Rogers. And you heard their conversations and ideas about writing, authors, books in prisons, and working in their years on air, and much more. As you heard, this was a wonderful 92-plus minute conversation and Q&A that ran uninterrupted, began at the start of the first hour and up until now, so almost two-thirds through this hour. And again, just a reminder that every week, both hours of this show are uploaded to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. Will remain there 4 years. I usually get that uploaded at about 7 o'clock after I get home from the show. I'm pointing that out in case you happen to miss part of it or you want to hear it again, which is entirely possible. Just a short mention, I recorded, I believe, about a dozen or so events at Kingston Writers Fest this past fall, and none of them have aired here yet. I usually reserve that for about this time of year and start airing them again. And this is just the time of year I usually do that. So over the course of the next several weeks, on and off, but probably more on than off, I'll be bringing more of them here, but I did want to start with this one, and I hope you enjoyed it today. Before we move on, and I think you know the future Kingston Writers Fest as we know it is over, and so this is kind of it was someplace I love to be every year, and I have recorded many sessions over the years. And this is kind of for me and celebration. Let's call it a celebration of life. How's that? In this show today, I want to extend my heartfelt thanks to all of you for tuning in to this first hour and well into the second hour, an equal thanks to Kingston Writers Fest, their staff and volunteers, to ERA, to Sheila and Eric and all involved for this wonderful event. And I will say that I do have some announcements that I'll finish the rest of. I thought that might be the best way to do it. The rest of this hour is just to share some announcements, so upcoming events and calls for submissions and things like that. But I do need to do this first, and I'll be right back.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Late in the 1970s, four Kingston women got together to discuss the idea of creating a community house, a place where grassroots organizations, families, and groups could gather. A place where food could be prepared and shared, new skills could be learned, and lively discussion could be encouraged. For over 30 years, Kingston Community House has provided low-cost meeting space for hundreds of groups, allowing people to come together to learn from one another, share resources, and trade skills. As it becomes safe once again to gather in person, we look forward to providing the Kingston community with a comfortable and convenient place to reconnect with one another. Located in downtown Kingston, we operate 7 days a week. For more information on Kingston Community House and how to book, please visit kingstoncommunityhouse.org.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
And again, you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, and we do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. And I guess as we move into the final, about a quarter of this second hour, it is it's right at 43 minutes after 5 o'clock. And for the remainder of the show, I will be sharing some information about upcoming events and calls for submissions that I'd already kind of mentioned. I did it at the very start of the first hour, but again, I do want to, because it's not officially over, the funding drive, because of what I said in the first hour about you can still get if you donate to a charitable organization, you can still get 2024 tax receipts up until, I believe it's the 28th of February, it's not officially over, but the funding drive ran through November and December last year. And mostly I just want to thank all of you who have donated to that. We almost hit our goal. It was $25,000, and I think we were just $2,000 or $3,000 short of that. So $2,000 or $3,000 short of that. So it was a wonderful event, this year, and you were also generous, and it was very much appreciated. Let's move now into the list. I'll do the calls first, and I may just do three of them because they're the ones that are most, I have a short list here. but I do three of them, and then I'll see and run through some events and see if I have time to do a few more calls. But this one you hear me talk about often, it's the Award of Awesomeness. It's through ARC Poetry. ARC Poetry's Award of Awesomeness deadline is always the last day of each month. It's open to all, and if the prize is 50% of prize money raised and a rare vintage award item. So there is a prompt each month, and go to their link for that, and also to see how to submit ARC, and that's ARC, arcpoetry.ca/contest/ARC Award of Awesomeness/. Deadline again, last day of the month, Friday, January, is that right? 31st, is that? Yeah, it really is. Okay, there's also another one, ARC Poetry as well has their contest that's an annual contest. They offer $5,000 for the winning poem. It's called their ARC Poem of the Year Award. $5,000 for the winning poem, $500 for honorable mention, and $250 for the Reader's Choice selection. And somehow there are, it says all 10 to 12 shortlisted poems also receive paid publication in ARC and online. So that one, just ARC Poetry again with a C, arcpoetry.ca/contest poem of the year. Yeah, and that deadline is the next day, Saturday, February 1st. And then on February 2nd is another deadline. This is for the Master's Review Winter Short Story Award for new writers. And just read briefly, this contest runs until, again, February 2nd, open to any writer who has not published a novel or memoir with a major press. Looking for unpublished fiction or creative nonfiction, 6,000 words max. First place, $3,000. Publication and agency review. Second and third place, $300 and $200, respectively. Online publication and agency review. Go to their website for all the details and how to submit. mastersreview.com/winter-short-story-award-for-new-writers. How's that? Let's go ahead and move into a few events because there are some coming up. In fact, there's one tomorrow. I'm also going to include some, and these are mostly local, but there are a few that aren't. If I get to those that are out of town, because I'm just going down this list chronologically. I will also include some art events as well, and the first one of those is tomorrow. There's an exhibition opening reception at Modern Fuel, which is located at the Tet Center, Suite 305. It's located at 3070 King Street West. It's at the Tet Center, which I think everybody knows is there, and the Isabel Bader Performing Arts Center is right beside it. Anyway, the exhibition opening reception is tomorrow, Saturday, January 18th, from 2 to 4. Their exhibition runs, their exhibitions are called Everything Sounds Like Crying Eventually, Queer Newfoundland Hockey League, and Twofold Artist Residency. And that, too, it will be on display, exhibiting, I guess is a better word, beginning tomorrow through March 22nd. There's a multi-genre event. This is a monthly event. It's been happening for about 2 years, I think. Quirks of Human Nature, and it's poetry performed with improvised music. This isn't rehearsed. It's all on the spot. And featured this month, and this is coming up Monday, January 20th from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Royal Tavern 2.0, which is on Princess Street, right between Berry and Clergy Street. So poetry is specifically science poetry, and Meg Freer will be the poet. Music, Michael Castile's on guitar. Bonus poets are Sue Publicover and Jan Allen. Deb Sherman's is on piano, and she's also the co-MC. And Meg Freer also organizes and MCs. So that's coming up Monday, January 20th. So this coming Monday at 7:30. Another workshop at an art gallery. Side. This is Side by Side 2025 exhibition. This is actually Union Gallery's fundraiser event. It's their chief money-making, fundraising event. Some beautiful art is hung all throughout the gallery, and you can go in and you can figure out how to, I don't know if you bid on it or I have to look it up. Go to www.zeffy.com. You know what? Just go to Union Gallery's website and you'll learn all about this, their Side by Side 2025 exhibition. Again, runs through February 8th. I'll have more information next week and do a better job of this. They do have a reception, and that's where the artwork is picked up, I believe. That reception is Saturday, February 8th from 1 to 5 p.m. So that's the end of it. I do have one out of town. This is Right On Right Now. This is a weekly reading series in Toronto. It meets at 7 p.m. every Tuesday evening. You can go to their Facebook page. Let's do this first. It's held, as far as I know, it hasn't changed, but Bampot House of Tea at 201 Harvard Street in Toronto. It's every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. But if you want more information, go to their Facebook page, www.facebook.com/writeonliveevent. And what else have we got here? Let's move back to another art organization, the Agnes. As you know, the place is being reconstructed, but they have a lot of things going on in the background and happening still, just in different locations. But they do have one event coming up on Tuesday, January 21st, and it is a Zoom online event called Making Artwork and Fall 2025. So anyway, please go to agnes.queensu.ca, and they'll take you to the main website, and then look for participate, talks, tours, and events. You'll see that right at the top of the page. Click on that. It'll give you a whole list of those. You can go to, if you want to learn more about participate classes, workshops, and camps, that's another sublink you can click on, and that's going to tell you about they have Art Hive, which is a workshop. It's held every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. It will run through the end of, March 20th. And so every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. So find out all about it there. Again, that's go to artagnes.queensu.ca and then look for the sublink title that says Participate Classes, Workshops, and Camps. Also there you will find Creation Station, which they call a workshop, which is on Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. That's happening, is it the second Sunday? I think it's the second Sunday of each month. But anyway, the dates are, if I haven't made a mistake, check it out. But there are still dates, three more dates open for that, February 9th, March 9th, I believe. April, I have the 9th, but I might be wrong just because I was saying the 9th. It's unlikely that it is April 9th, but there's one in April as well. Anyway, they're all on Sunday from 4 to 6 o'clock. And there are a bunch of other events on there as well that are coming up, but not as close. There is one other. See how I'm doing for time here. I have to allow enough time to actually kind of check out of here, and I've lost my sheet. Here we go. Sorry about this. I thought I had things in order. Might help if I flip a page. I've got too many pages here loose. So I've got about 2 minutes. Let's do this. You've got a comedy writing course going on. It's Comedy Writing and Ideas with Trevor Strong of The Arrogant Worms. And from him, he says, have fun and be funny, making comedy and learning how it works. He said these are in-person course with 7 sessions, 7 to 8:30 p.m. He says classes are near the Memorial Center. And for more information, just email him, Trev Strong, so TrevStrong at gmail.com, to reserve a spot or to ask questions. And I think that might be, I didn't do too bad. I got farther along, honestly, than I thought I would. I think now I'll probably should just concentrate on thanking you for tuning, listening and tuning in here on CFRC 101.9 FM, located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. I do want to thank all of you who tuned in today to the show. Again, my heartfelt thanks to all of those who made that Kingston Writers Fest event happen and all of the events that happened there this past fall. And again, you'll be hearing more of those. And also, don't forget, I mentioned it earlier, but I will hear again, a reminder that both hours of this show every week are uploaded to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. They will remain there for 3 years. And again, I usually get those uploaded just before 7 o'clock in the evening after I get home. If they aren't there, it's because I've got some sort of glitch going on. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. So I will get it fixed as quickly as I can. Also, do stay tuned. Coming up right at the top of the hour, please stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. And thank you all again for tuning in today. Hope all of you have a great week. Catch you here next week.
2 out of 3 geese, 6 out of 7 seagulls, and this Transylvanian owl all agree that if they had their own radios, they would tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting just for you from Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Listen to Let It Happen on Saturdays at 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. for a little bit of psych, a little bit of pop, and a whole lot of and that's only on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
Garage rock, hip hop, folk, punk, and electropop. New, comedian, and even local. Indie Wake Up handles your morning. Here for you, Kingston. Weekday mornings from 8 to 10.